Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is show number 202 for April 26th, 2009. The music in this podcast is provided by the IOTA Alliance. The song you're listening to is Pourquoi, and it's by Marie Pierre Arthur. And you can find a link to this music in my show notes at www.hometraveladagent.blogspot.com. Or you can go to the webpage at hometraveladagent.net, sign up for the newsletter, put your email address in the box on the right-hand side of the page, and you will get a link to the music right in the show's newsletter, in the show notes. Well, this show is brought to you in part by Citrix. And Citrix is the maker of GoToMeeting. And you know, business trips are profitability killers. The average trip costs you $1,000. Now, there's a solution to that, and that's why I recommend GoToMeeting. It's the award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. For just $49 a month, you get unlimited online meetings. Plus, you get voice over IP and phone conferencing for free. The award-winning online meeting service is brought to you by Citrix, and with just a click, you can host sales presentations, training sessions, product demos, or collaborative sessions right from your computer. So easy, you'll have your first meeting running in seconds. Now, you know, this past week, I used GoToMeeting. You know, I didn't use the meeting portion of it, but I used the voice over IP part, the conference line part, which was very nice. So, you know, you don't have to use the whole thing to make it a value. You can use pieces of GoToMeeting, and it works just fine. I did that this week. So you can try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast for a free 30-day trial. Hey, thank you, everybody, for coming on board the Home Base Travel Agent Show. You know, we're a show that talks about the travel industry. And we talk to travel professionals. That's our audience here. And we're here to bring you information about the travel industry, about the travel trade. And hopefully we bring you some good nuggets and information about how you can better your business. And today we have a special guest. Laureen is off to Hawaii. And she's not here on today's show, but today we have a co-host, a new co-host for the show, and that's Gary Ebels. Gary is going to join me this week, and we're going to talk about Disney, and Gary's going to fill you in on several resources that you can use to help yourself or help your clients to learn more about Disney and to get more out of that great place to visit. So stand by for the co-hosted section, and with that, I would like to invite you all again to go to the website at hometravelagent.net and check out all the archives and all the links there that you can access. Plus, sign up for the newsletter, which is the show notes, as I mentioned before. So anyway, with that, we're going to have a couple of news items after the co-hosted segment. But for now, what I want to do is get right into the co-hosted segment of the show. So here we go. Well, welcome everybody to the Home-Based Travel Agent Show, and Laureen Romero is off this week. She is on vacationing in Hawaii. Lucky her. You know, she's got that fire and ice thing going with Alaska and Hawaii. So in her place this week, we're lucky to have Gary Ebels. Gary has come on board with us, and we're going to talk some about Disney and talk about the travel business and take advantage of some of Gary's expertise. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, the weather's finally getting nice, and you're only about 30 miles north of me, so you know that too.
Well, I think that's a real advantage. You can't get beat up by Lorraine being out there in beautiful California. We're experiencing the same weather because we were just looking at the map, and we're about 20 miles apart as the crow fly.
Yep. So we suffer equally with this Michigan weather.
Yeah, but we love it, though.
Yeah, for sure. And Gary was showing me the area that he lives and the lake that he lives on, and actually he has a webcam on the website that's pointed out from his house out over the lake, and it's very attractive, nice lake there, beautiful area.
It's nice to come home to, you know, nice view of the lake and what we got so far too. So.
Yeah, that's one thing nice about Michigan. We have plenty of water here, lots of lakes, and lots of rivers and streams, and plenty of water recreation. We don't lack for that.
No, for sure. And it's a vacation destination, so people come to see us sometimes too.
That's very true. We have some of the beautiful, most beautiful beaches that you'll ever find on Lake Michigan.
Absolutely. We live 20 minutes from there.
Yep. And people don't realize that. I mean, we have a hidden gem here. I mean, the people live in Chicago, they know. People that probably live within 500 miles of here know because they come over and experience it. But, you know, we need to have more people traveling in from other places to check it out.
Exactly. Exactly. And it sounds like there's going to be more things coming on. If I hear the scuttle that some announcements that are coming up this week having to do with, which would be past tense when this gets broadcast, but it sounds like there might be a big announcement that it's going to become a destination for something artsy, as they say. So we'll have to stay tuned and update the listeners on that.
Yeah, you know, and that fits into this area because we have the Saugatuck Waterfront Film Festival, which one of the major cinema magazines, and I can't think which one, rated the Waterfront Film Festival right up on the top, along with Cannes and the one out in Las Vegas, Cinevegas, I think it is. And there's a couple more, but the Waterfront Film Festival in Saugatuck, Michigan, was rated right up there with some of the top film festivals in the world.
We're going to become the destination, so maybe we ought to start a bed and breakfast so that our listeners can send them this way or something, you know?
Yeah, that's right. We'll enlist the travel agents. Yeah. We'll enlist the travel agents to get us business.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, seeing I'm here, take over just a second and congratulate you officially. I know I sent you an email, but congratulate you officially on your 200th episode. You know, I listen to a lot of different things, including people who talk about podcasts, and they have this term called pod fady, and typically they say it runs the gamut about seven podcasts, and then people kind of die out. And to have 200 of them behind you means that you're probably here to stay, and there's a fair amount of tenacity that goes along with it. And you know, the other advantage that I have with you, Barry, is the fact that I know that you're busy, and I know what you do for your day job. I know that you moonlight as a college professor. You're on some corporate boards and stuff like that. Plus, on top of it, you're a husband, father, and a grandfather. So I'm not sure how you find it. I mean, it makes me tired just thinking about what you might do. Anyway, I want to say congratulations on your 200th show. I've listened to every single one of them, and another 200 to you.
Well, thank you very much, Gary. I really appreciate it. And it's you know, it's a pleasure to do this. It's a pleasure to help out travel agents and to know that we're doing that. And you know, we get the email that says that we are. And now I'm getting comments on Facebook from people joining up and saying that they're listeners of the show. And all, you know, all that is very rewarding, and it makes this so worthwhile. And your kind words also certainly motivates me and makes me feel good. Thank you.
Well, good. We appreciate it. I know how much time it must take to put in these kinds of things too. So, and not to leave Lorraine out. I know that she I listened to her, and she doesn't quite want to take credit for the 200 episodes. I want to, if I have a minute here, just relay a little story about Lorraine.
Sure.
I had an opportunity. I have my business partner in the travel business, and her name is Deb. Called me up and said her and another friend wanted to go on a cruise. Well, and she says she wanted me to take care of that. And for a couple of reasons, I thought, well, it's kind of like making reservations for your family and stuff. I mean, the pressure is a little higher for some reason. I don't know, a little self-conscious or whatever. And the other problem is that my host agency, which could be the substance for a whole different show down the way, or a revisit of previous shows, is a company called Joystar, and it's my understanding they're in bankruptcy now. So I'm not quite daring to make any bookings through there. But because you want to go on a cruise, it didn't take me long to think about. In fact, I had an article that I bookmarked from the Los Angeles Times recently, and it's called the Daily Travel and Deal Blog, and it was writing about value-added travel agents, and starts out, how do you find someone, and they refer to someone as a, quote, cruise-connected travel agent. And what they came down to is talked about the fact that most of the business, or a lot of the good business, is based upon word of mouth and what other people know. Well, I want to tell you a little story about Lorraine. When Deb wanted to do this cruise, I asked permission to say, I know who I'm going to hook you up with. I know she's in California, but I'm sure she will be glad to take care of you. I called Lorraine up and interrupted her dinner. Of course, I have no clue what time it is out there.
Yeah.
And she said that she'd call me back and she'd be more than happy to help. And I connected the two of them. And initially, I got to be kind of a little observer as to some emails that went back and forth. And then sooner or later, they just kind of continued the other things. But it was kind of fun to watch another travel agent at work to see how they did things. And I have to say that I was more than impressed with how Lorraine handled this professionally, how she followed up on things in her email. And I actually learned something very important from Lorraine. In fact, I've got her email up that she sent to Deb there. And I want to read you the first paragraph here. And I'll tell you what I learned here. It says, hi, Deb. I hope you two are as happy about this quote as I am. One of the things I love about being a travel agent is not only working with clients, but working with quote-unquote live folks in the cruise lines. Many people will make a quote right from the website, but I love working with real people. And, you know, that struck me, and I haven't forgotten, and I actually set that aside because as a reminder for me, because I'm a techie, as a lot of people are, and if I can't find it on the website, I'm probably not going to pick up a phone. It's not because I'm scared to do it. I talk to people all the time, and I spend my day talking and so forth. But typically, when I get a chance to work on things, I'm not either near a phone or it's just not convenient and so forth. But she makes a very good point, is that a lot of times getting a real person in there who you feel comfortable with can actually give you a little advantage. And actually, it worked out because they were actually to book them in a special room, a balcony thing. I don't understand how it goes, but first off, Lorraine knew about it because she had been on cruises like that. She knew how special the room was, and that room wasn't there before, but it just happened to open up, and that cruise agent at the other end of the phone knew about it, something she would have never found probably on a website or something. So, I mean, I learned something very important right there, is the fact that maybe sometimes it would help to pick up the phone and call some of the people who they employ who are experts at helping the travel agents be successful.
You know, I learned the same lesson from Lorraine myself. I had to do a quote for a client, and I got into the website, or I went to the website, and I couldn't get in. And I think it was a cruise website. I forget. It could have been like GoGo Vacations or Apple, but I don't recall. But I got to the website, and I couldn't get into it. I must have messed up the password, and I was trying very hard, and I was frustrated. So I thought, well, I'm just going to give Lorraine a call, and she can get into the website and pull up the information and get me the prices, and then I can get this quote out to the client. And so I called her up and told her my problem about the website, couldn't get in, and her response was, well, why don't you use the phone?
And go figure. Using the old technology sometimes works better, doesn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, like I'm a techie. The first thing I think about is technology, and, you know, or at least new technology. Phone is technology, too. But it was like a revelation. Yeah, I could just call them up.
Exactly. Interesting. Well, I wrote a couple things down that I wanted to share on the podcast here about Disney, seeing that seems to be our subject that we haven't talked about yet. But I kind of label it the past, present, and future just to keep me on track and so forth. But I can also see the genesis of some either short segments that I share or the next time I come back. But talking about the past, and one of the things about it is that despite the economy and things like that, the statistics are out about attendance at theme parks. And according to some company that gathers that kind of information, Disney has ruled the roost again. They actually dominate all the markets and bring more visitors than virtually all other theme park chains combined to their parks. So Disney is still a destination there. In fact, if you want, just quickly, I'll actually read down the top 10 amusement parks based upon, I'm not sure exactly what, it's kind of an interesting, it's called an attraction attendance report for 2008. Number one is the Magic Kingdom. It had 17 million visitors, and their percent change was flat. Followed by Disneyland with 14 million plus. Number four, Disney's Hollywood Studios, which used to be MGM. Number five, Disney's Animal Kingdom. Number six, Universal slips in there. Number eight, Disney's California Adventure in Anaheim. Number nine, Islands of Adventure in Universal Orlando, Florida. And then number 10, Universal Studios Hollywood. The top 10 amusement parks in North America, 2008. So Disney still is actually a destination and a place that people go to. Now, obviously, the economy and such and some of the other economic factors play into that, and we have also heard, which brings us to the present part of Disney, we've heard about the fact that Disney was laying off people. And, you know, getting layoffs at any place sounds pretty sensational, and you think about a place that is so busy, or if you've gone down there. But one of the things that someone points out, and I've heard people mention this about winter time and Christmas time at the mall and so forth too, is that you can't judge the profitability of some place by the number of people there. What you have to do is you have to watch what kind of bags they carry out of there. And of course, the same thing would happen in an amusement park or a Disney related type of thing, is that how are they putting people in the rooms, and are people eating on site, the things that would typically add to their bottom line. And so people do come there and they do visit, but what you're finding, if you are a follower of Disney, you're finding that they actually have sales on their merchandise in downtown Disney, something I don't think I've ever seen. We're seeing special things. In fact, I grabbed one of them just to give you a little list of them here. They're still running a 7-night vacation package at Walt Disney World for the price of 4. Now, if you do just the general math on that, that's a pretty good deal. You're buying 4 nights, getting 3 nights free. They actually started this out as a short promotion last fall, and at this point in time, it's been extended through August, travel through August 15th. And right about that time is when free Disney dining starts also. So, and that's been a pretty traditional thing, even in the upside, where anyone who's booked on property reservations for one of the resorts gets free dining at breakfast, lunch, and dinner at any other sit-down restaurants, usually during the month of August and most of September. Now, of course, that coincides in Florida with hurricane season, so there's the risk, but Disney is a master of knowing when their downtimes are and trying to find a way to bring people in. A good example of that, which would be the subject of a show, is some of the special things that occurs, like the Walt Disney World Marathon, which occurs one of the first weekends in January. I mean, typically the bottom drops out, and all of a sudden 30,000 people show up to run the the Walt Disney World Marathon over a weekend. So they find unique ways to bring people in, and that's that works also there. Also in the present there, besides the layoffs, which really sounds pretty traumatic and so forth, but if you do the math, it turns out to be about 1% of their employee group, and virtually no one who's a cast member that deals directly with the public, in essence, the people that the guests would see, were affected. They were all salaried people, which were middle management, which a lot of people agreed that maybe got a little bloated during the good times. So those are the people that disappeared, not necessarily the cast members that were interacting with the guests there on a day-to-day basis. And then last but not least, when talking about the present here, even though the profitability is down and so forth, Disney still continues to do a number of major refurbishments. In fact, within the last week or so, I don't know the exact date, but one of just about everybody's favorites, if you've been there, going there for quite some time, Space Mountain closed down for quite a lengthy refurbishment. They hope to have it open by Christmas or Thanksgiving, one of the two, but we're going to see a huge refurbishment and a large attraction. Those things cost lots of money, and they're not afraid to upgrade and bring some of these older attractions and kind of give them a little refresh there, too. So, anyway. And then talking about the future, I think I already stepped on myself there, and that would be the fact that, talking about the fact that free dining is coming up and also some reduced rates on lodging and so forth for really a good part of 2009.
So actually, the economy is bringing us some pretty good buys in terms of travel.
It really does, yes. It really does. And the people that I talk to and the people that I follow on Twitter were talking about the record number of people that were there in the recent holiday weekend, Easter, and that at least the Magic Kingdom multiple times during the day was actually closed to outsiders. If you were an annual pass holder or a guest that was staying on the property, you could still get in. But they had enough people to close down the Magic Kingdom, and I think, don't quote me on this one, but I think also Hollywood Studios, a couple of times during the Easter week and weekend. So there's lots of people that attended there. They're still showing up, and that still costs some money. Anybody who's been to Disney knows that.
Yeah, and Gary, when was the last time you were at Disney?
Well, let's see. I've actually been there twice this year. In January, I went to a conference that just ironically happens to be in Orlando. I don't know how that happened. but it was an educational technology conference. And actually, the conference is a wonderful conference. I would go wherever they actually had this on, but it happens to be in Disney. And so I was there in January, and then I went down there during our college's spring break, which was the first week in March, and on that trip, my youngest son, my daughter, my son-in-law, and one of my two new grandchildren went along. So we had a six-month-old go up to Disney for his first time. So
oh, that's great.
Special. That was pretty special. We're going to make him into a Disney fan also.
Start him out early.
Exactly.
Well, very good. Any other ideas, thoughts on Disney, or?
Well, as far as Disney, I guess the point would be is that not only Disney but the Orlando area still seems to be one of the major destinations. At one point in time, I was talking, or not talking about, but I put some things together and realized that people could still have even in this economy, have a really good vacation and not leave the country or go someplace. And I think the other thing to be said, too, I know that beginning the spring break season, they were talking about some of the conflicts and so forth that were going on even down in Mexico and some of the destinations that college students would typically go. And I don't know that Disney's a destination for spring break people. But the point of it is that it's still a very safe and really a good value, because you really get what you pay for there. It just costs a little bit more to do it. But nowadays, leaving the country, I mean, we've got, you know, we've got pirates out on the open sea, and you've got Pirates of the Caribbean in the Magic Kingdom, and I think one's safer than the other. So just never know what might happen out there. And so I think that we need to be a little bit more concerned about international travel. And if you want to go to some countries, sometimes the best way to do that is just to go down to the World Showcase, where you can go to all of them in one evening and see some good fireworks, too. So, but the other, the one other thing that I was just going to mention, and my summer project as I wind up the semester in school, I think I've mentioned before, and it's been brought up many, many times, that we need to find a specialty or a niche and so forth. And first off, my niche is Disney, but I've always kind of looked for more of a particular niche and so forth as to what I could do to share some of the knowledge and the trips that I go down there and so forth. And I've kind of settled on something that's kind of been I've been able to do many times, and also seem to have a little knack for an interest in, and that is solo traveling, and more specifically solo traveling at Disney. I see on a lot of the boards that go out there that people go, well, I'm a little concerned, I'm going to Disney without my family, am I going to be accepted there, and what's going on? And I've been there many, many times because of things like conferences and business and so forth, going down there by myself, and I think I've got a lot to share. So my early summer project is going to be to set up a blog or a website, which basically has to do with solo at Disney. In fact, I follow a bunch of people under that name. One of the two names that I follow on Twitter, I think I'm getting way too involved with this Twitter thing, but I follow all my Disney friends, and my screen name there is Solo at Disney, and so that's how I can track a lot of the Disney people. And then, of course, all the tech things that I'm interested in fall under a different heading, which would be Gary 222. But what I want to do is to kind of look into and share my experiences and link to other people who are starting to do the same thing. They end up in a destination like Orlando by themselves, and they don't know if it's appropriate. And actually, in trying to decide whether this was an appropriate thing to do, I've actually deliberately gone and to see if I could go out to dinner by myself and get a, you know, and get a table and so forth. Can you go to the California Grill at the top of the Contemporary and eat dinner at the bar and have the same view that everybody else is there and do it by yourself? And what I've been finding out is that in about 90% of the cases, not only do they have that, they actually accommodate those kinds of things too. And I'm going, well, that's a kind of a well-kept secret. And so I thought, well, I'm going to find a way to share that, which is what it's all about, kind of like what we're doing here on the Home Base Travel Agent show here too. So the other thing that I wanted to share tonight would be a part of the technology, and that is if people are going to sell Disney and so forth, one of the value you can add, just kind of like what we talked about at the onset, where Lorraine was sharing a lot of her expertise with one of her clients here, is the fact that there's a lot of good information out there that would be very good. One of the things about Disney is that if you're going to go there, you just don't show up like you would maybe on a cruise and say, take me away and feed me. It requires, if you're going to have a good time and not exhaust yourself and get burned out, it's going to take a fair amount of planning. And there's some really good resources. And what I want to do is just mention them right now, and then I will make sure that I supply those to you so they can be put into the show notes. But just a couple of quick recommendations for not only if you or any of the listeners are looking for their own trips, or they want to share them with someone who they're planning the trip for. The one book that I would highly recommend that someone picked up if they were going to use it as a resource would be the it's called the Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World. The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World. And they come out every year. If you find an old one, it's 2008. It doesn't change that much. But the 2009 guide's there. You can pick it up at any bookstore for just over $20. But it's even for me, it's just a wonderful resource. And the companion with that book by one of the authors, Len Testa, is he has a website called Touring Plans, touringplans.com. And what he has is you can build what are called touring plans for Walt Disney World. You tell them what day of the week you're going to go, what park you want to be in, and they will, in the age ranges of people, and they will build you a plan to make the most efficient use. And what they use is a lot of research that they've done on wait times in the park. And so as a result of it, they'll say, well, if you get there when the park opens, you got to go to this ride first. Or you go and get a fast pass here and then go ride this ride and come back to the other one. And it makes the most efficient use of your time. And it's a very useful type of thing to use there. So I would highly recommend that. As far as Disney sites go, Disney obviously does a nice job with their own sites, although a lot of times it's what we would call somewhat biased. They would obviously use it for marketing purposes, which would be WaltDisneyWorld.com, the Disney Vacation Club. There's one for Disney Cruise Line, and then of course their new thing called Adventures by Disney, which are tours and other places there too. But the Disney fan sites, and the one that it's very, the one that's probably my favorite, and it's my favorite simply because I think from the first time I was connected to the internet with the ability to research things. This site called All Ears, A-L-L-E-A-R-S, allears.com, is one of the oldest and probably the one of the best planning and information sites that you can find on there. There's also a couple other ones that are very useful. One's called Mouse Savers, makes sense, mousesavers.com, and I usually use them and one of their links, right through the their site to buy tickets before I go down there, because I can very often save quite a bit of money on both buying multiple tickets for the people that are coming up there. Another one's called the Disboards, D-I-S. It's Walt Disney World information. That one is very useful because it's probably got one of the larger memberships of people who contribute and have discussion boards on there too. A couple other ones: Mouse Planet, Disney Blog, The Laughing Place, Intercot are all good. Good sources for information too, but All Ears and Mouse Savers I think are my favorite, the ones that I spend the most amount of time on my way down or if I want to look something up. There are some really great podcasts. Now, of course, everyone is required to listen to the Homebase Travel Agent first, but if they get their homework done, then they're allowed to listen to other things. And again, if you're interested in Disney and so forth, there's one called Walt Disney World Today, and that's made up of four gentlemen that get together three times a week for a very short, 20 minutes or less podcast about a specific subject. Once a week they do listener questions, and you can learn a lot about that. And also go back into their not only show notes, but even in the podcast have the title in them to find out what it's about. Kind of like the Homebase Travel Agent. If you see a specific subject, you can go back and listen to it again. Another one's called Inside the Magic, and last but not least is the Walt Disney World radio show, and that one has been getting a travel award every year in the travel category on the podcast awards, or there's some specific name for it. Now that one's typically usually over an hour and so forth, so you gotta be deliberate or do it in pieces and so forth. But a lot of good information, historical information, and then last but not least, there's one that I like, and I like it in my office the best, and it's called Mouse World Radio, and it just has all kinds of Disney music from the parks and so forth, and it streams it right through your speakers on your computer. So while I'm working in my office or have office hours, I very often have Mouse World Radio playing in the background. So it sounds like I'm kind of a Disney geek. I know it, and so do my students. So, but I don't make any apologies for it.
No, nothing wrong with that.
I But I'll get those. Links for you so you can put them in the show notes, Barry, and
okay.
People that want to go not only check those places out, but maybe even just bookmark them in a folder on their own computer, so that when they have an opportunity, they need to look something up if they're making some plans or they have a client that asks a question and they want to know about it. They'll have that available to them.
Yeah, very good. Contribute to their expertise.
Exactly.
Well, Gary, if people want to get a hold of you and ask you questions, how would they do that?
Well, I tend to be all over the place here, but I have an email address that I use for these kinds of things, which would be WDW, like Walt Disney World, wdwgary@gmail.com, wdwgary@gmail.com. Also, if your listeners Twitter and they haven't followed me yet, and I'll be glad to follow them back and love to do that. You can find me on one side at Gary, G-A-R-Y, 222, or on the other side, which would be Solo at Disney. It's all one word, S-O-L-O at Disney, and that would be my Twitter handle there, too. And how does people find you, Barry?
Well, they can email me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net, and they can follow me on Twitter at KANTZB, and that's my username at Twitter. Just plug that into the people search section, and I should pop up. Well, Gary, thank you for filling in for Lorene.
I have a request for you.
Sure.
For you, Barry.
Yeah.
I heard this on another podcast one time, and what they had is this person called it a last five and five, and I don't know what the fives mean per se. But what I was referring to is I learn a lot from other people and what they're doing, and sometimes people find things for me. So that's why I like Twitter so much. I've learned so many things from Twitter, both on both sides, the tech side that I watch and the Disney side from other people and websites and podcasts and so forth. And so we'll let the listeners feedback on it, but when you have a listener on, what I'd be curious about is what was their either last five blogs or websites or podcasts that they either listened to or read, and it might open up some things that other people don't know about. So what I'd like to do is start this thing out and give you my last five podcasts that I've listened to, and we'll see if it takes off and so forth.
Here. Yeah, good.
So they might be interested in. Obviously, number one we're going to put on there is the Home-Based Travel Agent podcast. I'm completely up to date on all of those. A couple of the other ones that I listen to would be something called Geek News Central, and that's the geek coming out of me, but I get a lot of information. But geek news isn't just geek news. Very often there's a lot of information. It's kind of like I found out about it, a publication called the Wall Street Journal one time. I thought it was all financial news, and I had a professor that made me read it, and I fell in love with it because I found out it had a lot of things beyond that, and it was a well-written magazine. Same way with Geek News, it's got stuff that's all over the board there, too. So, another one that I listen to quite a bit would be the Tech Guy podcast, which is with Leo Laporte, and those of you that are into technology and been around for a while remember Leo from the podcast, or the TV days and the screensavers and so too. I get a lot of information from there. And then the three that I mentioned there before, Walt Disney World Today, the Walt Disney World Radio Show, and I forgot what the other one was. Inside the Magic, I'm sorry. Lost my train of thought there. So that's my last five, and we'll say 50 seconds, last five and 50 seconds, and I'd be curious when you have guests on there if you forewarn them that at the end you're going to ask them for what they're currently reading or listening to or what they reference here. I'd be kind of curious because you have some interesting contacts out there, and they probably have come across things that we haven't heard about yet, and that's what this is all about, sharing.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I like that. We'll incorporate that into our list of questions for guests. That's good.
Right.
And,
well, it's been a pleasure, Barry. I appreciate it. I'm not wishing that Lorene goes away any more often because it seems like she's always gone. But and we get to talk about her when she's not here. But it was my privilege to to stand in for her. I appreciate her allowing me to do that. So call on me again if you'd like.
Yes, certainly will, and I really appreciate you coming on the show, and it gives us a little bit different perspective. We tend to talk a lot about cruises and that type of thing, so to get the Disney perspective in here once in a while is great. So I really appreciate you coming on board and filling in for Lorene, and we'll certainly do it again, and anytime you have a Disney segment or you want to come on and talk a little bit about Disney and you got something that you know, that you want to put on the show, you're certainly welcome to do that at any time, Gary.
Thanks, Barry.
All right, thanks again, and we'll be in touch. Okay, thanks, Gary, for a great job, and thank you for the compliments. I really appreciate the support that you give me and the show. You've been great at that over the past couple of years since we've gotten back together. You know, I don't know if you know, but Gary and I ended up attending law school together for a while, and that was a number of years ago. We lost contact, and all of a sudden, he heard the Home Base Travel Agent show, sent me a letter, and he said, "Is this the same Barry Kantz that went to law school?" And I said, "Yes." And as it turns out, we reconnected, and Gary lives about 20 miles north of where I live, by the way the crow flies. And you know, glad to be back together, hooking up with Gary again here, and sharing mutual interests. He loves the travel business and technology, and I am in the same genre as that. So anyhow, moving on into a couple of news items. Gary mentioned about traveling alone, and here is a news item that was in the Chicago Tribune on April 12th, 2009, and the article is by Maureen Jenkins, and it's entitled, "Going It Alone is a Singular Pleasure." And the author says she loves to travel alone, and she also points out that about 12.3 million Americans traveled to Europe last year. And of those, 38% took the trip across the Atlantic alone, which is kind of interesting. And you'll definitely want to check the link in the show notes to this article and learn about her experiences. And there's some websites in there that you can go to learn a little bit more about traveling solo. But she recommends that if you're going to travel solo to Europe, she recommends some destinations, and one is an English-speaking place, Dublin, and it's very social there, and people are outgoing, so you'll feel right at home alone. Home alone, how about that? Anyhow, by going to Dublin. And she also says an energetic, outgoing, and manageable destination is Barcelona, Spain. And you'll also find English speakers in where there's an international vibe, and that's Brussels, Belgium. So anyhow, check out the article, read the whole thing. It's pretty interesting, and some of her experiences are interesting as well. Fun to read. Now, last week's show, I mentioned the enhanced driver's licenses, which serve as a mini passport, and several states, I don't even want to say several, I think there might be six states that are issuing the enhanced driver's license, and Michigan is one of them, and I think New York is also a state that's going to have the enhanced driver's license, but it functions as a mini passport. And there's an article in the Detroit News dated April 21st, 2009, and it's entitled Enhanced Driver's License, What You Need to Know. And there's several cute questions and answers here in this article, and it outlines what the enhanced driver's license is, what it will do, and what it won't do. But basically, the enhanced driver's license contains an RFID, a radio frequency identification chip, and it has a randomly chosen number that's your number, represents you. And what you can do is when you approach a booth, say coming from Canada into the United States, the chip in the driver's license gets read and the border agent has all of your information up and ready to go. So this can save you time and it can eliminate a lot of questions. Now the chip and the information that the border agent receives will also let him know that if you're wanted by the police, if there's a warrant out for your arrest. Now that's nothing new. Border agents could determine that with your previous driver's license as well. Now the enhanced driver's license chip is protected by a secure wrapper, I think is what they call it, so that it cannot be read by other computers other than the border agent's computers. So it's fairly secure according to this article. Now, you can travel to Canada, Mexico, or the Caribbean by ship or by car using an enhanced driver's license. It does not work if you're flying, so keep that in mind. And the enhanced driver's license here in Michigan costs $45, and that's versus the $100 for a passport. So it's a little bit cheaper, but certainly not as versatile as a passport. And in last week's show, I mentioned there's a downfall to this, and that if you're on a cruise in the Caribbean and you get notice that you need to go home for an emergency and you fly home, that enhanced driver's license isn't going to work for you flying back into the United States, so that could be a problem. Anyhow, there's a link to this article in the show notes. Check it out. It's a good article, a lot of Q&A, and if you're in one of those states that offers an enhanced driver's license, you may want to take a look at this. You know, I don't know if you've ever been over to the Smart Brief website, but it's the American Society for Travel Agents, kind of a newsletter site, and it has interesting articles on the site, and you may want to check it out. There's a bunch of interesting articles for travel agents in general on this website, and it also links to other articles in other publications that you may want to take advantage of. Now, the article that caught my eye here in the ASTA's Smart Brief was that the president and chairman of ASTA, Chris Russo, released an open letter, and that was in response to some comments a couple of airline heads made about travel agents and suggesting that travel agents should pay for the privilege of booking airline tickets. We should pay for the privilege of selling their product. Wonder how that works. Anyhow, you might want to take a look at the article and take a look at the links within the Smart Brief page where the article is located, and you can get access to the complete article through those links, through the link on my show notes, which you can get in email. With that, I want to wrap the podcast up. We're at the time limit, as if there is a time limit, but I don't want this to go too long. And with that, I want to say, hey, have a great week. If you're traveling, have safe travels. And stay healthy out there, everybody. Take care now. Bye-bye. Some more.